again, faithful listener, and welcome back to Movie Madness with me, David Double D Dennis, and
Andrew Roebuck.
And we apologize for being away so long, but we're back with a super epic show.
It's been like
we're gonna be talking about.
Our last episode was so last year, David. Clever joke, eh?
Oh, wow. We're
nudge,
gonna hear
nudge.
Probably
clever.
A lot of those jokes. Meaning not clever at all.
I can't hear you. I'm too busy being clever.
Right.
Left.
So.
Sorry. I can't continue. I just.
So this episode is basically just going to be us making bad jokes about stuff happening a year ago.
So,
because we're looking
episode?
Back. Yeah, well, no, this one's going to be even worse. Those are the worst kinds of jokes, especially right after New Year's. It just gets annoying, people. Anyways, we're looking back on 2013, the best, the worst, the year in movies. So basically, this episode is just going to be sort of an impromptu, sort of retrospective on the year. I don't really have anything prepared. I didn't make a top 10 because I don't feel like I'm ready to do that yet, because there's still a lot of major movies I haven't seen. Actually, let's begin by talking about that. What are the really big movies, maybe nominated for Golden Globes or Oscars or whatever, or that made a lot of money that you didn't see or still haven't had a chance to go see yet?
Okay, I have not seen Inside Llewyn Davis. I've not seen American Hustle, and I've not seen Her or Nebraska. Those are like probably the only ones that I really want to see. There are a few others that I haven't seen, but those are kind of just tertiary, where it's like, yeah, I'll get around to those eventually. Cough, cough, never. It always happens where you have like one or two movies that you know are going to be pretty good, but you miss them during the year, and then you always intend to go back and watch them. But, you know.
But you never do.
You never, ever do.
That kind of happened in 2005 with, if you remember, the movie Memoirs of a Geisha.
Oh, yeah. My mom watched
never
that a million times,
it,
and I got
and
bored
I want,
it.
And I wanted to see it, but because it was, you know, I was nominated for all this stuff. It's supposedly pretty good, but it was one of those movies I never got to see it, and I still haven't seen it. Maybe never will.
You're not really missing much, because it's kind of bleh.
Okay, then. I think the big ones for me are 12 Years a Slave. Definitely the really huge one. It's not playing anywhere around here. I don't know. I'm hoping to go up to Toronto sometime soon, and maybe I'll see it then.
Understandable.
I think, did you mention Nebraska?
Yeah, I did mention Nebraska. I haven't seen
I haven't either. Seen Nebraska either.
Yeah, I really want to see Nebraska.
I haven't seen Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, I have. Dallas Buyers Club's pretty good. It's got some really amazing performances. That's the reason you're going to want to see it, because I bet you most of the Oscar performances for like lead actor and supporting actor are, there's a pretty good chance that we'll be seeing some Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto.
Yeah, I mean, they've been sweeping every awards show so far, like...
Exactly.
The Golden Globes, the SAG Awards, and the Critics' Choice Awards, they won all three of them. So, like a 99% chance they're going to win the Oscar for that performance.
Yep.
I have seen Inside Llewyn Davis, actually one of the most recent movies I've seen.
So,
just a couple of
it?
Days ago. It's very Coen-esque.
So,
which
I was expecting. Amazing.
Well, I was expecting a more accessible Coen Brothers film, because I was like, oh, it's about folk music or whatever. But it was, very dark, very much had their sense of humor stamped all over it. It was still very funny. I feel like it kind of gets too depressing towards the end, but I won't spoil it for you.
Don't get me set. Anyways, I love Coen Brothers. I don't think I've ever watched a Coen Brothers movie that I disliked. Well, I think the only Coen Brothers movie I haven't seen is The Man Who Wasn't There.
I haven't seen that one either, actually. What's the one with, George Clooney?
Intolerable Cruelty?
Yeah.
That one's not that bad.
Bad reviews.
I don't think it's too bad. It's not amazing, okay. But it's a pretty decent romantic comedy.
I think those are, the only two I could think of that I haven't seen. But I've seen most of their other movies, and yeah, there's none that I really don't like. There's obviously some I like more than others. I feel like there's quite a few I like more than Inside Llewyn Davis. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's still really good. The music in it is really great. Like, I love a lot of the songs. I feel like I want to get the soundtrack for it.
Right.
But it's... Yeah, I don't know. There are other Coen Brothers films I felt were.
I'm amazed it didn't get
higher caliber.
I'm amazed it didn't get any love at from the Oscars. It got barely any Oscar noms, and even True Grit that came out in 2010 got quite a bit of noms.
Got 10 nominations. Yeah, or whatever.
And I really like the movie True Grit, but. It doesn't seem like anything super spectacular, and it still got all the credit it deserved.
I liked True Grit more than Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, again, I haven't seen Inside yet, so.
I'm kind of surprised, especially that it wasn't nominated for Best Song. That Please Mr. Kennedy song has been nominated in every other award show, but it didn't get an Oscar nod, which is a little surprising.
Because the Oscars hate folk music. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Folk conspiracy.
There's a lot of things the Oscars hate. Another movie that wasn't nominated for anything, and it was kind of surprising that the Oscars just completely neglected it, was Rush.
I didn't bother seeing that movie. And I'll
be
honest.
It's really good, actually.
Yeah, I believe.
It's one of those ones you'll never see.
I believe you. I'll just say that. I believe you. I'm not going to say I think it's a bad movie. I'm sure it's great, and I'm sure I'll find it at a $5 bin in 2 years and pick it up and watch it. Then again, I said the same thing about Blue Valentine and The American, and both are sitting unopened on my movie shelf. So one day I'll watch those movies.
I haven't seen Blue Valentine. I didn't like The American, though. It's really boring.
Damn it, I bought a boring movie. So
it's a movie that looked really cool in all of the previews, and I was like, oh man, George Clooney as an assassin, that sounds amazing, but most of it is just him, talking to people and at a shooting range.
He talks to people, yeah.
Shooting at targets.
Oh my god, I can't wait to watch
it now. There's literally, two action scenes in that movie at the beginning and end.
Cool.
And the rest is just kind of really slow. So maybe now that I've prepped you for it, you'll enjoy it more than I did because you'll have the proper expectations.
Right.
If you ever get around to it. All right. So going back to 2013, obviously we can't really avoid talking about the Oscars. It's kind of a big deal. So I'm sure that'll pop up every now and again. But I kind of want to go back to the big summer movies of 2013. I think we've touched on this a little bit before. We talked about Iron Man 3 and Star Trek and I don't even know what else, but what would you say is the big winner in terms of summer movies for 2013?
I really enjoyed, surprisingly, I enjoyed The Wolverine out of the most, probably, out of everything. Well, no, that's a lie. I'm trying to remember. Give me a second.
For me, it's...
You go.
It's less about which movie is the winner and more about which movie is the least loser.
Oh, see, yeah.
2013 has had some pretty decent movies, in Oscar season. Independent movies sort of thing.
I think it's had good movies all along, to be honest with you. I like Iron Man 3. I rewatched Iron Man 3, and I liked it just as much as I liked it before. So I realized
I don't know.
That,
I still haven't seen it since theaters.
So I realized that when I the movies that I came
I just feel
into
like 2013
liking,
so far
I still liked, and the movies that I didn't like when I watched them, I still don't like if I watch them again.
I just feel like 2013 so far has been pretty disappointing in terms of big summer movies.
Yeah.
Seems like they're all the good ones are going to be coming out in 2015. At least that's what it's looking like right now.
Well,
or hopefully they'll be good.
There were quite a few that were disappointing. Yet. But I thought, like, one of the ones that doesn't get mentioned much, I really like that Tom Cruise movie Oblivion. I thought it was actually pretty good. And
that movie's not bad, actually.
It kind of got an unfair rap because everyone was like, oh, Tom Cruise. Bleh. And I'm like, no. It's actually pretty awesome. You should watch it.
I enjoyed it. Another one, actually, that I just watched last night with my family and was surprised at how much it didn't suck was Now You See Me.
Oh, I really want... Actually, oh, that's a movie I need to watch. Now You See Me. That's the horror movie, right? With the dog mask?
No.
Oh, no. Sorry. That's
what?
Your next. Sorry, that's your next. Now You See Me is the magician movie. Whoops. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, You're Next. I haven't seen either.
Yeah, I want to watch that one.
We could talk about horror movies in a bit, but
yeah,
it was actually pretty decent. But most like I already talked about how I didn't like Iron Man 3 that much. I didn't really like Star Trek Into Darkness. The more I think about it, the less I like it.
What was I going to say? Yeah, I just remembered what movie I really liked. Another movie that I really liked from the summer that everyone hated. Not hated, but everybody had a very spirited opinion about The World's End and how everyone was kind of disappointed with it. And I rewatch it lately, and I've been rewatching it so many times lately because I just realized how much I love that movie. So I unabashedly love The World's End. And also This Is the End was pretty funny too, but I think World's End is the better of the two.
Yeah. I didn't hate The World's End. I just I didn't like it as much as the first two Cornetto movies.
That's what everyone is
but
saying.
All,
I think it stands up. I think it stands up with the rest of them for me. It's like
I think I'll need to watch it again at some point. It might be one of those things that time might be favorable to it.
Maybe. And it's also something that like you need to watch with like well, since you have that like awesome three-pack Blu-ray, which is amazing, by the way. That has so many... If you're a fan of those movies, it's like $30, and they have so much
exactly.
special features on it. Like, it's ridiculous. I would have paid $30 for that World's End Blu-ray alone because it has so many features. It's nuts. There's a...
I haven't even had a chance to check it out yet, to be honest with you.
And,
I'm
like,
going to have to...
If you watch some of those special features, you kind of just realize how much little details and little details were put into all the work that was like done into the movie, and how like mm-hmm. the script is actually kind of perfect and it all blends in really well together. And I found that as years go on, I am a big sucker for tightly written scripts that all kind of like tie in together. Like, say, like, the Avengers. Like, when they will say a line, and then the line will be reflected in the next scene. And you won't even realize they're doing it until you rewatch the movie.
Yeah, that's always kind of fun when they add in little layers like that, and lots of detail. And I find that's one thing that Edgar Wright is really good at. Like, Scott Pilgrim I've watched a few times, and it's one of those movies you can notice a new thing each time you watch it.
I love Scott Pilgrim. I love it. Because
there's so much little tiny details in the background of each of the scenes and stuff like that. But he does that with all of his movies, so I gotta say I'm really looking forward to his Ant-Man movie, no matter what he does with it. It's Edgar Wright, so...
Yeah.
Actually, one movie this summer that I found was really divisive for a lot of people. People seem to either really love it or just, like, bash it constantly. It was Man of Steel.
Ugh, Man of Steel.
And
ugh.
personally, I didn't hate it. I thought it was all right. I kind of liked the story up until like the last 30, 40 minutes when it just turned into this kind of all-out brawl. And it got kind of boring for me. I find when movies just turn into a big fight scene and they sort of lose track of the story. Like the Transformers movies did that a lot. And watching Transformers 3, I almost fell asleep in the theater. Even though it's this big, loud, noisy movie with big machines smashing each other in the face, I get bored if there's no actual story or character development going on, and I feel like Man of Steel sort of ran into that kind of thing towards its last act.
Well, like, there's no real there's no real finesse to the fight scenes, because it's all, like, people who are really powerful punching each other multiple times.
Just, bleh, punch!
Punch, 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 punch! Like, in, like, a kung fu movie with Jackie Chan, I could watch a fight scene that goes on for an entire 90-minute movie just because of the way it flows and how he manages to defeat his foes using the environment. Whereas with the Man of Steel movie, it's like, punch, punch through Denny's, punch through blah, blah, blah. Oh, what's this? Product placement. Punched in the face with it.
I'm going to punch you with this Best Buy sign.
My
Pick up the Best Buy exclusive Blu-ray of Man of Steel coming soon.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my fist is made of Under Armour.
Yeah, but honestly, I still didn't hate Man of Steel enough to, like, I've read a lot of blogs and stuff like that that are saying, like, oh, it's the worst movie of the year. It's
No.
You guys don't watch enough movies.
No, no, they're
apparently
definitely
worse. It's not even close.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst movie of the year, that's for sure.
It's if you were to rank every movie that came out in 2013 best to worst, it would probably fall somewhere in the middle.
What would you,
or in the upper end of the like, towards the high part of the low end.
Now, what would you say is your least favorite movie of this year? Because we it kind of transitions nicely.
Oh man, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I tended to avoid, like, really bad movies that came out. Like, I know Grown Ups 2 is supposed to be awful, but
I can name mine.
I did see After Earth, but
nice. I can name mine, and mine might kind of also, you might argue, it might not be the worst movie of the year. You might say, I haven't seen enough movies. But I hated Warm Bodies. Warm Bodies was the worst.
I forgot that came out in 2013. I haven't even seen it.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. That's all I can say.
I thought that came out 2012.
No, no, no.
For some reason.
That is 2013. Believe me, my anger sustains. It's just that the entire, like, movie all goes on, oh, you can cure zombies with love. Like, no, zombies will eat your brain. This is dumb. And also it has, like, really bad effects to it. Like, the CG and, like, some of the practical effects are, like, really done poorly. So it to me, it just feels like Zombie Garden State, but worse. If that's possible.
Wow. Okay, I thought of a movie that I maybe hated more than After Earth. After Earth was pretty stupid, but I kind of liked the idea of an alien that could smell fear. I don't know why. I thought that was kind of cool, but the rest of the story is really dumb. But one movie that I know you actually liked, but I couldn't stand it, was Stoker.
Oh, I love Stoker.
I thought that movie was terrible.
No.
Okay, I think I need to describe why I didn't like Stoker. Because, I mean, I watched Old Boy, and I like that. So it's the same director. But I feel like the problem with Stoker is that it went so far into style over substance that it feels like it like, you know how I would describe it? Here's a good metaphor. It's like a really pretty girl that puts on way too much makeup to the point where she now looks ugly because she's trying so hard to look pretty. That's how I felt watching Stoker. It was trying so hard to have all this style and have all these metaphors and like have all this like cool art design and stuff like that, that it just got ridiculous. Like, I felt like I wasn't watching a movie that took place in the real world. I felt it was like something that took place in Tim Burton's basement. It was just ridiculous, and I couldn't get into it, and I had a hard time getting into the story. And, yeah, I didn't like it. It just left me with, like, a bad taste in my mouth, and I didn't really find any enjoyment out of it.
Understandable. I can't.
Maybe you could convince me otherwise?
Oh, great.
But probably not.
Give me a work here. No, I don't know. I really...
You don't have to.
I really enjoyed the style and the substance in the movie, and I thought that the writing was really well done, and I loved all the visual elements of the movie. It's a really visually compelling movie, and I found it, like, super intriguing. And I remember when I brought it up to my friend was like, oh, that's just a remake of a Hitchcock movie. And I'm like, no, it's inspired by a Hitchcock movie. It's not a remake of the Hitchcock movie. And then the guy went through this whole pretentious talking about how he avoids Hitchcock remakes. Anyway, screw that guy. Regardless, it is a film that takes a lot of, like, tried and true tropes from, like, Hitchcock movies and mystery movies, but adds this weird Japanese flair to it. It's, like, it's really interesting to me. I don't know. I haven't watched it in a while, so my memory is a little hazy. So that's why it's not, like, super high on my list. But it's a movie I'm definitely going to rewatch in the future. And in the future, I'll probably be more intelligently defending it.
I don't think I could ever rewatch that movie again, to be honest with you. Like, I barely got through it the first time.
That's okay. I don't know. It's not for everybody.
I think the only reason I did was because I was watching it with my friend Will, and we both kind of felt the same way about it, so we spent the whole movie sort of making fun of all, like, the weird stylistic choices, and the ice cream. There's a weird amount of ice cream in that movie.
Oh, now I want some ice cream.
Like, go back through that movie and take a drink every time there's a shot that includes ice cream for some reason.
Oh, that would not be good, I don't think.
You would die of alcohol poisoning. I don't know what does the ice cream even mean?
That
it seems like a metaphor that's not a metaphor for anything.
That everything's cold, and if you warm it up, you die. Yeah.
Oh,
metaphors,
wow,
man.
So deep.
Her family's so cold, so she kills them by melting them.
You're so deep.
Oh, I'm so deep, bro.
Anyways, let's
I'm too
let's
deep.
Move on from this depressing discussion. All right, one area where I feel like 2013 actually excelled in a lot of ways was animated movies.
Really? Because I like Despicable Me 2 quite a bit, and enjoyed. I really loved Frozen. Frozen I thought was really great. But aside from
I've seen Frozen 3 times now. So
oh man, you're beating me. I've seen it twice. Now I'm sad because I'm being beaten. But other than that, what other animated movies?
I liked Monsters University more than I thought I was going to.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about Monsters University. I loved Monsters University, like, a lot. I don't know why I forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went and saw that and Despicable Me 2 on the same night, because they were both playing at the same time, and that had to be... That is probably... Yeah, I would say that's the best double feature I saw this year. A close second would be when I saw Wolf of Wall Street and American Hustle.
That sounds like apropos.
They're both...
American, Wolf of Wall Street is so good. So damn good.
So good. I liked American Hustle more, but Wolf of Wall Street was good. But
okay.
I feel like it was too long. I felt like about 15 minutes could have been cut out.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
American Hustle, I felt, was just as long as it needed to be. I enjoyed it. But,
American Woman.
Anyways, going back to animated movies, yeah, that was probably my favorite double feature so far this year. It was just a great combination of animated movies, and they were both very funny. Despicable Me 2, I would say, is the biggest surprise for me so far this year, because I didn't like the first one that much. I thought it was okay. I know a lot of people were upset when it wasn't nominated for Best Animated Movie, and I was like, I don't know, I don't feel like it really deserved it. I don't think it was that great. But Despicable Me 2, I'm like, okay, this deserved to be nominated. This is a sequel that surpasses the original
well,
in every way, in my opinion. It was probably one of the funniest movies of the year, I think.
It was very funny, but I don't think that it surpassed the original. But that's just my take on it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, no, I really like that original
movie. I found it a lot funnier, and the original I found just kind of got too goofy in some parts. Like, it was just kind of trying too hard. This movie, I feel like the humor just kind of felt a lot more natural. Like, it felt like it sort of belonged there.
Right.
Had better pacing, I guess. And I thoroughly enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Understandable.
I still haven't seen The Wind Rises yet, so add that to my list of animated films I need to watch.
Yeah, that's true. I do need to watch The Wind Rises. But I'll watch that eventually.
Sorry, you're breaking up there.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, yeah, I still need to see that movie too.
Okay, yeah, you came back just towards the end there. Japanese animated movie that I have seen that I thoroughly enjoyed and I would recommend to anyone listening to this is Wolf Children.
What the hell is Wolf Children?
Incredibly good movie. Exactly. Most people haven't heard of it. But it's basically what it sounds like. It's about these kids that are half wolf, half children. Now, when you describe the plot, it almost sounds like a crappy Twilight ripoff, because it's like this girl who's, I think she's in college at the beginning of the movie, and she falls in love with this dude who goes to these college classes with her, but he's not actually like part of the college, he just sort of sneaks into the class, and then she finds out he's secretly a werewolf. Who knew? So anyways, they end up hooking up, and they have two children together, who are like, they can kind of transform between human and wolf, and they have to kind of decide, like, do I want to be a wolf or do I want to be a person? And the movie is a million billion times better than I'm describing it, because it's extremely emotional. You'll get totally wrapped up in the story of these people's lives, and it's very well animated. I mean, it's a Madhouse movie, and they're known for their animation, so...
Right.
It's very good.
It's a Madhouse. Go see it.
A Madhouse! So, yeah, another one that actually was a little bit better than I thought it was going to be was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to see that yet. I really liked the first Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Like, and by really, I mean I love that movie. I think it's, like, perfect almost. So
you'll probably love the second one. I would say the first one is a little bit better, but the second one definitely lives up to it.
Right.
There's no Bruce Campbell in it. That's my biggest complaint.
Aww. Why no Bruce Campbell?
I know, it's disappointing.
That is
super fat Bruce Campbell is awesome. Disappointing.
I love Bruce Campbell.
That
was probably the most redundant statement I've ever made. Oh, it's like, who doesn't love Bruce Campbell?
I can't think of anyone offhand, to be honest. I'm sure there's one person out there that's devoted their life to hating Bruce Campbell simply because everyone else loves him.
And he was a communist.
And they have to be different. And his name was Adolf Hitler. Anyways. That's how evil you have to be to hate Bruce Campbell.
That's amazing.
He saw through time and saw how amazing Bruce Campbell was going to be and decided, I hate this man. Yeah. Nine. Anyways. Nine Bruce Campbell.
So, Dave, what other movies got a nine out of ten in your eyes?
One movie I actually really enjoy, because I watched a lot of horror movies around Halloween, and one of them was The Conjuring, and it was actually really good.
No, it wasn't. I'm just kidding. You can like it if you want.
Saying something? I don't know if Skype is breaking up right now.
Oh, okay. You didn't hear me insult you. Yes, you're a very nice man.
Okay, then. I'll just take that compliment.
What I'm going to say is... I thought I liked the way it was made. Like, I thought it was well made, but I didn't really think the movie was scary at all, so it kind of fell flat for me.
Really? I didn't find all of it scary. I found some of it was trying too hard. Like, there's a part where there's, like, they look up and there's, like, an old lady on their cabinet or whatever, and she, like, jumps off and she's like, blah! And it's...
Dumb.
That wasn't scary at all. That was just stupid. But some of the parts of the movie were actually, like, for a James Wan movie, they were actually surprisingly subtle, and they worked pretty effectively, I think.
Interesting. For me, horror movie wise, I really liked American Mary. That was kind of like an indie horror movie that got released this year, and it was really good and really disturbing. Okay. Disturbing. What else? You know, I didn't really like the Evil Dead remake. Lots of people like that movie, but I wasn't so hot on that one. Didn't do it for me, really. What other horror movies came out this year? Let me think.
I didn't hate it. I think it had its advantages. What was it called? Insidious Chapter 2, I actually thought was a little bit better than I was expecting it to be. Like, I feel like Insidious, after I watched it, I didn't feel like it needed a sequel. It kind of ends open-endedly, but I feel like, you know, a lot of horror movies do that on purpose, just to kind of leave you hanging of, oh no, what happens next?
Right.
But I didn't actually really want to know what happened next, but it actually wasn't bad.
I liked...
It wasn't nearly as scary as the first movie, because it kind of, like, recycles a lot of the...
Yeah.
Scares from the first one, but it still was decent in terms of storyline.
I liked Carrie quite a bit, not gonna lie. I really enjoyed the remake of Carrie. That could just be because I'm kind of biased towards any adaptation of the series, because I really, the story of Carrie is kind of one of my favorite stories in general, so I always enjoy seeing it through a different lens. Also, I'm going to say something a little controversial here that's going to make you probably mad. I enjoyed World War Z. I didn't think it was amazing, but I enjoyed it enough to the fact that I own it now.
I would never own it. Like, I saw it twice, like once in theaters and then once like a friend of mine rented it. But like, I didn't think it's not like the worst movie ever. I just found it was such a like. I just found it a really generic action movie. Like, it was just like any Hollywood action movie that they would pump out at some point during the summer. And it didn't feel like it had anything really special for me.
I don't know. In the realm of horror...
Compared to the book...
Sorry, go. Sorry. Okay,
what,
I guess I'll just
what
go.
What was that?
Never mind. Also, in the horror movie field, I really enjoyed Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Really? I never saw that one.
It's super cheesy, but it's like ridiculous. Super fun cheesy, like super fun cheesy that I kind of love. It's kind of what it is way more Sam Raimi than the Evil, like, it's way more Sam Raimi than anything that was done in Oz the Great and Powerful, so I kind of wish that he directed, like, Hansel and Gretel and did, like, a cool, awesome Sam Raimi take on it. It has some pretty bad, like, CG effects, but other than that, it's, like, a ridiculous fun time. VHS 2 is awesome. The sequel to VHS has some really great scenes in it, and, like, some really spooky stuff happened in that movie. ABCs of Death was awful. Do not watch ABCs of Death. It has, like, it's like a movie where there's like 26 different anthology horror movies, and
like four of them are good.
Yeah, exactly. Four of them are good.
That's how I felt. Yeah, there's the one with like a dog fight that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
there was one. Probably my favorite one actually was where the guy, he goes through like this hedges or something like that, and then he comes out and he sees himself and he like kills himself.
Yeah, I forgot that part. That was cool.
That one was actually pretty cool. So there's a few kind of creative ones, but any one that they gave to a Japanese director, they were just like, death means insanity in WTF moments. Like, no, I don't think they translated the word death properly into Japanese.
Yeah. Also, I know Maniac, that movie that I was anticipating quite a bit. It didn't get a wide release till 2013. So even though it says it was released in 2012, I consider it a 2013 movie. That movie was disturbing as all get out, and I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good, but super scary.
I haven't even heard of it.
Oh, well, then you clearly weren't listening last year when I did my anticipated movies. Sad face.
Yeah, your anticipated movie. Well, I remember a few of them. I remember Stoker, and I remember one movie we haven't talked about yet that was actually really good.
What's that?
Was Before Midnight.
Oh, Before Midnight. So good.
I didn't give it the best review right after watching it, but the more I think about it, the more I realize it actually is really good.
Yay!
That's definitely a third movie in a trilogy that holds up to the first two.
Right.
Which rarely happens.
I agree. But yeah,
one,
I really like
one
that
of these
one.
Days I'm going to have to... I mean, I already own the first two movies in that series on DVD, so when it comes out, I'm going to have to pick it up and... do like a thing where I watch all three in a row.
It's already out. The Blu-ray is out.
So, yeah, I just haven't gotten around to buying it yet.
Yeah, me neither. But...
'cause I'm lazy and cheap.
Cheaply lazy.
But yeah, definitely if you haven't seen or even heard of the Before movies, there's Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight, and they basically chronicle the experiences of two people in an ongoing and, I guess, unconventional relationship, and they're very good movies. The first one sort of goes into, like, how they meet, and it's very romantic. The second one, they kind of meet up again years later, and it's more about just, like, you know, oh, we shouldn't be together, we lead different lives, but we want to be together. And then the third one is, in a lot of ways, the darkest one, because they actually are together, but their relationship is sort of falling apart at this moment, and they're kind of trying to salvage what's left of it.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
All three go together very well.
Yeah, they're really good.
If you want to understand love and relationships... I feel like that's a very good place to turn compared to most romantic comedies that have like a very unrealistic view of that subject.
Yeah, that's very true. Also, I'd like to touch on some documentaries. Have you seen any like documentaries this year that you really liked?
Not really, not yet. I saw, when did Clean Flicks come out? That was probably 2012, so I don't think that counts.
So. For documentaries that are really good this year, Act of Killing was amazing. You have to watch that. It's really disturbing,
okay,
but you'll love it. Also, Stories We Tell was really good. That's Sarah Pauley's movie. And I've heard some argument saying that's also a 2012 film, but it was put towards for 2013 for Oscars, so I count it as a 2013 film. And also Blackfish was really good. Did you hear anything about Blackfish?
No.
That's the Marineland movie that goes into like some of the behind the scene in-depth stuff that happens in Marineland. And
oh,
it's pretty crazy. Some pretty crazy stuff right there.
Like lots of animal cruelty type of things.
Yeah, and just kind of like general recklessness as far as the way they treat their animals.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised. I mean, Marineland's kind of a shithole, so...
Well, sorry, I'm talking about SeaWorld.
It happens. Oh, well, Marineland's just as bad,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, it focuses a lot on that whale that ate that girl. No, he didn't eat the girl. He, like, bit that girl and killed her in, like, 2000-something or other, and they didn't even kill him. They didn't even kill the whale. They still have the whale.
Oh. Well, I mean, I don't think they should kill the whale. Like, it's an animal. Like, that's just kind of
no, I know, but
does.
They didn't do,
like, it kind of...
They're acting like they don't have it near people anymore, but they still pretty much do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like one of those shady
like
businesses.
People are kind of freaked out about it, but they just like changed its name and pretended it was a different whale or something.
Well, not like that, but along the same lines.
Okay. Yeah, I can't say I've seen any real documentaries this year. I kind of wish there was a theater in this area that played them or something, but
yeah, that would be nice.
I don't know. It's a hard thing because there's not a lot of places you can go and just watch a documentary.
Yeah, you basically
until it comes
like,
out on
yeah,
TV.
Yeah, you kind of have to wait for it to come out or watch it on Netflix or whatever when it comes out. It's kind
yeah.
of a luck of the draw as to what you actually get around to watching.
Netflix has a pretty good selection of documentaries.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we touched on all of that. I think we talked a little bit about kind of Oscar movies or movies that we kind of thought were really good. Let me see here. I just want to look up the list of which movies were nominated for Best Picture. I would say my favorite one so far that I've seen is probably American Hustle.
Right.
I felt it had really solid performances all the way around. I love the way David O. Russell directs movies. Like, he has a very... Like, I feel like it's stylized, but it's realistic at the same time. Like, when two characters in a David O. Russell movie have an argument, it feels like you're watching an actual argument. Like, you just walked into someone's house at the wrong time and they were, like, screaming at each other or whatever. Plus, Jennifer Lawrence in that movie is amazing. And if she wins another Oscar this year, she definitely deserves it because she's probably the best thing about that movie.
Cool.
And I mean, she's only in it for like 10-15 minutes. Like, she's really not a major character, but every scene that she's in is just incredible. Actually, another movie that I thoroughly enjoyed was Gravity.
Oh yeah, Gravity was amazing.
Saw that in AVX, and it was definitely worth it. It's one of those movies you kind of have to go see it in AVX or IMAX or whatever, because it's like, it's just, I don't know. It's a big movie. Like, it deserves to be seen on a big screen to get the full effect of, like, staring into the vast expanse of space.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably not going to have as big of an impact on just on my TV screen.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of those movies that you'll only ever really be able to see once or twice in the theater. And then, like, you can watch it again, but you'll never have the same visceral experience.
Yeah. I was going to say something about it, but now I forget what I was going to say. I don't know, just that it's really good. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I just remembered.
That it was really good?
It's one... No, another thing beyond that, that it's one of the few movies I would say that's actually worth seeing in 3D. A lot of movies, I feel like the 3D is just sort of tacked on to make more money and it's not really necessary, but Gravity deserved to be in 3D.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, sorry.
It was one of those things that actually helped it out a lot. Another one I really enjoyed was Philomena.
I never watched Philomena. What is it about again? Helen Mirren mad or something?
Well, it's not Helen Mirren, it's Judy Dench.
Oh, sorry.
But,
oh, I get you know, my...
Same difference.
I get my refined British women mixed up sometimes.
They're both very good actresses, so...
Exactly,
it's not like you're
yeah.
confusing... You're not confusing her with, like, a terrible actress or anything. Yeah, basically, her... She's, like, raised in a convent, or... Ugh. I don't know if it's a convent or, like, a place with nuns in it. I don't know what it is.
Oh no, not another nun
school,
movie.
Catholic school or something like
is
that.
Is this Sister Act 3?
Yes, the really dark sequel to Sister Act.
Wait, why is it dark?
It's a pretty depressing movie.
What's it about? Like, what do you mean? Like, why is it depressing?
I'm getting to that.
Quick, hurry up. Jeez, Dave.
Okay, so she's raised in this she's raised in this convent. Yeah, basically, she goes to this carnival. She meets like a really nice guy. Aww. And they end up banging each other.
What? Wait, do you see Judi Dench banging a dude?
No, no, no. It's like her as a young girl. Boo. Sorry, this is happening way. Boo. This is happening way in the past.
You just lost my interest completely. You had me. You had me, and I was like, oh, Judi Dench.
I mean, yeah, it's Judi Dench, and she bangs dude. No. So yeah, basically she ends up getting pregnant and the nuns are like, you can't keep this baby.
They're like, none of that.
So they take her baby and basically like sell him off to these people from America, and she never sees him again for 50 years. And then, Steve Coogan plays this, he's like a former politician. And he goes through this whole scandal. You don't really find out that much about it. But anyways, he tries to get back into reporting. And so for his first story, he chooses Philomena and tries to help her find her son. And they, like, go to America together to try and find him. And I don't really want to spoil anything beyond that.
Oh, man.
Will they find him?
Probably.
Stay tuned next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Ah! Oh, I just described an entire Dragon Ball Z episode for you. People screaming.
Thank you. Rah! Thank you. For 22 minutes straight.
We'll get you one of these
days. I already mentioned that I really liked The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like it could have been cut down a little bit. It didn't really need to be 3 hours long.
Yeah, it need to be 5. But...
maybe if it was like a mini series or something.
Dave, I don't think they spent enough time on the partying and the drugs and the hookers. I believe they could have spent more time on that. It's not like that was 7 hours. It actually wasn't, but it was like 2 hours of the movie was basically just him doing basically. Like ridiculous debauchery.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now,
I feel like people will like this movie for the wrong reasons because
okay,
of that.
I was just about to say, I wanted to know how you felt about that, if you're one of those people who looks down upon the movie because of how other people will perceive it.
Well, not really. I don't think I look down upon the movie because I still really enjoyed it. I just think some people won't...
get the subtleties
the right way, I guess. Yeah, because really it's not a movie about debauchery and drugs are awesome. It's a movie where you're kind of supposed to watch it and be disgusted by these people. I think
it's a movie where it's just like people are taking advantage of other people. It's like a world of suckers, and like everybody is caught on the hook.
And that rich people are, like, the biggest douchebags in the world, basically.
Yeah, and that...
That's the moral of the story. And that not only that rich people are douchebags, but they're douchebags that get away with everything.
And that cocaine is exactly like spinach for Popeye.
Yeah.
That was, like, probably the greatest scene in film this year. Just...
Yeah, that entire sequence of when they do those drugs together... And then he reaches the cerebral palsy stage. It's probably the funniest scene of any movie this entire year.
Oh, man.
I won't spoil what happens after they do the drugs, but it's pretty crazy.
It's awesome.
They get into some antics.
Yeah. There's some
hilarity
ants.
Ensues.
Hilarity.
I got a chance to see her.
Oh, really?
Which sounds, that's a weird sentence. I got a chance to see her.
Yeah, okay.
Who? Her.
All right, fine. Just take the jokes out of my mouth before I can say them, Dave. God.
Sorry. Were you going to make a joke about that?
Yeah, I was.
Were you going to be like, who?
Yeah, I was.
Damn it.
I'm not proud of the fact I was going to make that joke, but it was going to happen.
Okay, I stole that shameful joke from you. Shameful, shameful joke. I actually saw that movie in the what do they call that? The VIP theater in Toronto.
Is that like one of those Coke. Massage parlors, Dave?
Maybe.
Yeah, I want to see her VIP edition. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. How was the ending? Did it have a happy ending?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, this is an actual place where you can order alcohol in a movie theater, and it's in Toronto, and it's amazing.
Did you get smashed at the movie theater?
No, because the alcohol is super overpriced, so I only order like one drink. Yeah, and it's like $7.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. If pop is that expensive, how much do they charge for alcohol? And the alcohol is probably like watered down too, isn't it? Like.
Unfortunately, guys, that's all we have for this week's show. Sadly, the Skype call was dropped, and we had to basically end it there. But not to worry, because we're going to be doing another show soon, looking forward into 2014 and what movies we are looking forward to. And we can definitely pick up the conversation a little bit about some 2013 movies that we liked, if that happens to be brought up in the next episode. But stay tuned for next time, where hopefully we won't have any Skype issues and things will be running smoothly again, because we love doing this show and we hope you love listening to it. So we'll catch you later. For now, I have been David Double D Dennis, and this is Movie Madness. See you soon.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face.
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
Oh, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear... somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.